Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. And they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto all them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Another introduction, for we have another new book. The author is Jeremiah the prophet. What does his name mean? Yarmiyah. You know the Yah on the end of that. That is shorthand for Jehovah. Yarmi means to establish or to set in place. And so Yahweh shall establish. That's his name. He is of a priestly family, and yet the Lord has called him as a prophet. He's the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So he was from Benjamin. Hilkiah was his father. Hilkiah was a priest, a Levite, in the land of Benjamin. That means he lived in one of the Levitical cities and one of those men that taught in the Word of God. And so also, he was of that priestly tribe. However, the Lord called him to be a prophet. He begins his career in the days of good King Josiah, and continues his ministry through the fall of Jerusalem and beyond. He probably died in Egypt, being forced to go there by the apostates in Judah after the death of Gedaliah. And we'll come to that portion in our reading. He begins, He was accompanied by his faithful scribe and amanuensis Baruch, who stood before him before the people after he himself fell into disfavor after his temple sermons of chapters 7 through 10. And so it was that Jeremiah was no longer in, he could no longer stand before the people, but Baruch, his faithful scribe, stood in his stead. The date of writing, we believe that his writing career begins around 620 or so B.C. There's, you know, 5 years here or there on either side. And we suppose that his prophecies extended through about 580 B.C. So a prophetic career of approximately 40 years. And the purpose of the book is to show Judah their sin, to announce the coming judgment for that sin, to call them to repentance, to show them their deliverance in Messiah, and to prophesy of His kingdom to come. The outline of the book is difficult to determine. Most good scholars outline it without too much complexity in the various prophecies. Chapters 1 through 21, prophecies under Josiah and early Jehoiakim. 22 through 39 under Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem, 40 through 45, prophecies against the Gentile nations, 46 through 51, and an historical appendix, chapter 52, as the final chapter of the prophecy. So, Jeremiah the prophet. Of course, Jeremiah, through this prophecy and through his work in the book of Lamentations, has loaned his name to our English language. A certain style of preaching or a certain style of sermon is called a Jeremiad. Jeremiad. How many of you have heard that term? Jeremiad. And a Jeremiad is essentially a sermon that pleads with the people to repent, sets up the dire consequences if they do not, and pleads for repentance. That is a Jeremiad. And so, Lord willing, then, we will undergo 52 Jeremiads, although of short duration, in our readings as we move through this book. All right, so this first section, it is evident then that Jeremiah desires us to know the breadth of his ministry over the course of the events that led to the fall of Jerusalem through the monarchies of several kings. I think that there is, I don't know if I would call it a hidden meaning, but there is an implication here that one king rises, one king falls, and another succeeds him, and yet the word is consistent through the one prophet, Jeremiah, through three, we might say four, different monarchies. And through those four different men that come to the throne, there is one message. And so the message, I think, of the opening section here is that kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but the word of our God shall stand secure. It doesn't matter if Jeremiah preaches his Jeremiad to Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, Josiah, President Obama, President Mitterrand. It makes no difference. The word of the Lord is the same to all kingdoms. Bow the knee. Come to Christ. And so those messages are secure throughout all of the kingdoms of the world. In the second section then, beginning in verse 4, Jeremiah is one of those whom I call a great unborn hero of the faith. You've heard me say that before. When I was back in the Christian Action Council as its president in Southern California, when I was a young man that didn't know beans from buckshot, they asked me to speak to that topic in various churches, and so I put together what I can only call a sermon today about the great unborn heroes of the faith, men such as Samson and so on. And here we have Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of those great unborn heroes of the faith that God called him to his office as a prophet before he was born, that while he was in the womb, God formed him to be that prophet, that the events, the uterine events, the in utero events of Jeremiah's life, his growing up, the beginning of his days, even before he was born, all led up to a particular office that he would preach God's word to kings. And so we have, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. When did Jeremiah get his ordination from the Lord? Before he was born. So let us then jettison the idea, the modern idea, that the unborn child is somehow expendable, less than human, can be done away with impunity. Brothers and sisters, abortion is a murderous sin and a blot, a botch upon our country. And indeed, a sign that we are not waiting for judgment. A country that kills its own children, judgment is already here. We will come to nothing except we repent of this terrible national sin. So let us remember then and take application from the appointment of Jeremiah before he was born. All right, so Jeremiah understands his limitations and his inadequacy. But remember, that is no excuse for not going where the Lord has called him and not doing what the Lord commanded him. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, I am a child. I cannot speak. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go where I shall send thee." Lord's not having any of that excuse, right? So he tells him several things. And those of you who aspire to the gospel ministry, listen to what the Lord tells Jeremiah, for it applies to all who would aspire to that office. Go where you were sent. Preach without fear. I am with thee. I have put my words in your mouth. Now, don't think that the doctrine of inspiration applies to you as modern-day preachers. However, the doctrine of inspiration applies as we preach God's word, doesn't it? It is God's word that is inspired. And note the work of the ministry as it is described here. It is with authority, it is destructive, and it is edifying. To build and to plant as well as to tear down. And notice that it is the office of the prophet here to speak before whom? Kings. Kings. Notice that the king has no authority over the prophet in those churchly realms, in those ecclesiastical realms. That there is no head of the church other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he sends a prophet to preach, that prophet must preach where he's sent. If that is to kings, then so be it. So, very clearly here, we have that proper separation of church and state. And Jeremiah is given churchly authority in the nations. You understand the difference, right? He's not given political authority. He's not governing. But he is given churchly authority in the nations, that by his word nations will be cast down, that is, judgment will be threatened to them except they repent, and by his word nations shall be built up and planted, that is, when he offers repentance and they repent. That there is indeed the opening and shutting, there's the binding and the loosing, and this is what Jeremiah is told to do here in his ministry. All right, so then verses 11 through the end of the chapter. That which is to come to pass will come to pass speedily. Jeremiah does not need to think that these prophecies of judgment that he is uttering will be held in long abeyance. He will see them come to pass. The almond branch budding. Why almond? Why an almond branch? Well, because in the ancient Near East, the almond had a reputation of being the first to bloom every year. As soon as spring rolled around, you could tell because the almonds were budding first. And so, as the almond buds first, in other words, something's coming soon, sooner rather than later, so also Jeremiah will see that which he is to prophesy come to pass sooner rather than later. The second vision that he sees is the vision of a seething pot. You know what a seething pot is, right? It's simply a cauldron, a round iron pot, maybe held in a tripod over a fire. And, of course, it's bubbling and boiling. It's seething, right? In fact, we understand that as a metaphor. Sometimes we say, I was seething. Well, it doesn't mean you jumped in a pot, right? It meant you were really angry. You'd gotten hot under the collar. And so the Lord says that he is going to bring to pass from the north. That is, that the aspect, the face of that seething, it was a little bit different than what you'd normally expect. You normally expect to see a seething pot facing up. This one's facing north. And the seething is coming from the north. And the Lord says, that's because I'm sending judgment from the north. Of course, he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. So a seething pot. Then he says, here's the word to you, Jeremiah, gird up your loins. In other words, make yourself ready. That would be like saying, tighten your belt, tie your shoes, you know, tuck your shirt in and get ready to go. Speak all that I command you. And notice what he says. Do not fear their faces, lest you come under my displeasure. We often pray that preachers would preach the Word of God without fearing the face of men. But, you know, we don't often think about the corollary of that, the other side of that. And that is that if preachers preach while fearing the face of men, that they will incur the displeasure of the king that they represent. And so it is necessary then, very often, for preachers to be bold, because Christ would have them bold. And if Christ would have them bold and they show themselves with timidity and misrepresent Him, they come under His displeasure, don't they? This is part of what James meant when he said, let not many of you become masters, for we shall incur a stricter judgment. All right, do not fear them, lest you come under my displeasure. And then notice, be like an iron pillar, brazen walls. Firmness and strength here is enjoined upon the preacher. It does not matter who they are. If they sin, speak against them. Kings, priests, and people alike. And prepare to do battle. Your words will pit them against you, but note the promise of the Lord, I am with you. So Jeremiah receives then his commission here in chapter 1. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.